This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, known as Upokshaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. Responsibly, please repeat. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, known as Upokshaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. The Supreme Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 1866, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Kam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishyami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his demand, no good result will come from any of his actions. Dharma svanustita pungshan vishvaksena katha suya notpadayad yadi ritim shrama eva hi kevalam. The occupational activities of a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 128. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless. Moga asha, moga karmano, moga jnana vicheta saha. Because he is bewildered, he is baffled in his hopes, baffled in his activities, and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti remarks, Napunshakam anupekshakyanetya adinaikatvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say that whatever one does, or whatever path one follows, it is all right. But these are all foolish statements. Here it is forcefully affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Ishvara tarpanam vina sarvameva vipalam. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies, and yajñas are simply for show and have no value. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. Nate vidu svardhagatyam hi Vishnum. They do not know that the real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. Ta'eva niyama sakshat ta'eva cha yamottama tapodanam ratam yagyo yena tusyatyatoksaja. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, known as Upokshaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. So just an announcement for everyone's knowledge. Lectures every day are taped. There's a tape recorder in the sound system. So that tape will be used to tape every day's lecture. That tape will be kept for 1 or 2 days, and then again it will be used. So if someone wants a copy of any particular lecture, then they can get a copy made, or if it's a particularly good lecture or whatever, then it can be sold in the bookstall. So just in case anybody's in anxiety about taping lectures of their favorite speakers. So here we are hearing from Kashyapa Muni and his instructions how to achieve success in worship of the Lord, and specifically the process delineated by Kashyapa is known as the Pyavrata process. But practically, if you read it, study it, it sounds just like devotional service, except for with drinking a little bit of extra milk. For 12 days, you drink milk and do devotional service. I think it is important for all devotees to realize that by practicing devotional service, we are achieving the highest goal, Krishna prema. A devotee of the Lord has no other obligation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that we do have many obligations to the demigods. We are breathing air. At this very minute, we're breathing in and breathing out. Without air, we would all fall over and die. Who's giving the air? Who's donating the air? We just take it for granted, but it's being supplied by the demigods, by Vayu. Because of the personality, Vayu, the wind is moving. If you're ever in a room where there's no ventilation, you feel like you're going to suffocate, like you're going to die. I have an office in New York that's just like that, no ventilation. And you feel, without the movement of air, you'll suffocate. So that movement is caused by a person. It's caused by Vayu. So we owe a debt to him. We are Rini. Similarly to the Rishis. And to so many different personalities. Therefore it is said, Devarshi Bhutapta Rinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayamani Rajan Sarvatmana Ya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parigritya Kartum. Someone who has surrendered everything to Mukunda. Gato Mukundam Parigritya Kartum. Someone who has dedicated his whole life to Krishna, who is the giver of liberation. In our Back to Godhead magazine, the latest issue, there is a debate going on between some of our readers and the editorial staff, most notably Jayadvaita Swami, about who is supreme. And there's a discussion about Lord Shiva and his position And the person who is writing in, there's one man from England, Cambridge University, head of the Hindu Society there. He's very upset. And there's some other people writing in from America. They're very upset that why do we not equate Lord Shiva with Krishna? Why are we making a distinction? And like that, there are 33 crore devtas, 330 million demigods, so many you can't count them all. So the impersonalists and Mayavadis, that is their emblem, that is their credential. They don't discriminate, they want to make everything one. There's no difference, no hierarchy. They're something like communists, spiritual communists, make it all one. No class system. So, the fact is, a very easy answer is, that only Krishna is known as Mukunda, or the giver of liberation. Only he can free you from the cycle of birth and death. All the others are servants of Krishna. Aham adir hi devanam. Krishna is the origin or the source of all the devatas. So, when you surrender to Krishna, giving up all activities, all other activities, sharanam sharanyam, giving up, taking full shelter, means that you have no other interest. When we talk about a pure devotee, we often talk about the pure devotee. Now, there are different kinds of pure devotees, of course. There's a pure devotee of the stature and caliber of Srila Prabhupada. And we would never even think to discuss any other person on the same level as Srila Prabhupada. But one easy definition of a pure devotee is someone who has devoted himself completely. He has no interest. He's not interested in a career. He's not interested in building a big family or acquiring a lot of material education. He has no other interest. Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kaitum. He's fully surrendered to Mukunda. For such a person, someone may have a doubt. They may say, he has obligations to the devatas. This always happens whenever a new brahmachari comes or someone wants to join. All his relatives immediately come and say, what about his obligations to his family, to his community, to his job? What about this? You can't make him a sadhu. He has obligations. But the scriptures say very clearly that he has no obligations. Now that he has surrendered to the Supreme Lord, all of his other debts are taken care of by Krishna. There is another verse. I forget exactly. Actually, it's in the Bhagavad Gita somewhere. Yathor. How did that go? Yatha karor mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka pranopaharascha yatendriyanam tathayava sarvarhanam achutteja. When one surrenders to achuta, to Krishna, it is just like pouring water on the roots of a tree, the mula, the roots. Yathakaror mulani shechanena. One satisfies all the leaves and branches. So Krishna is the root of all existence. He's the origin of everything. Vedanta Sutra, a very easy definition of God. is that he's the origin of everything. Anyone, a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a Buddhist, anybody, can accept an easy definition, a common definition of God. Janma adi yasya yataha, janma adi. He's the origin of everything. So he's the root. He's the origin of everything. The origin of the tree is the root. So how do you do best service to a tree? You pour water on the root. Then all the leaves, all the branches, all the twigs, every part of the tree is nourished, benefited. So similarly, we can do the best service to humanity. We can do the best service to our parents. We can do the best service to our nation by pouring water on the roots of everything, which is Sri Krishna. Janma Adi is the, by description, worship God. That is the highest welfare work, to serve God. And therefore, all of your previous debts are wiped out. You have no other obligation. So Kasyapa is guiding his wife. Of course, she has some material desire. But that's all right. Akama sarvakama va. Whether you have no desires, you have all desires. The process is the same. The process of devotional service is standard for everyone. There's no exception. People come to devotees and they express reasons why their situation is special. I can't surrender to Krishna because my situation is different. And they give this excuse and that excuse. I need some special process or some special dispensation or whatever. But the process of devotional service depends upon satisfying Vishnu or Krishna. And if you're able to satisfy Krishna, he is able to solve all your problems, all your idiosyncratic problems. Idiosyncratic doesn't mean that you're all idiots. It means that everybody's a little different. Everybody has a little bit different mind, a little bit different nature. We do have different problems. But Krishna is so expert that he can fulfill all your desires. He can satisfy you. He can take care of your anxiety. He can pacify you. Krishna is the perfect person. There's nobody like Krishna in this world or in the universe or anywhere in creation. Krishna is such a perfect person that you just have to have faith in him to realize his abilities. You cannot understand Krishna first and then surrender to him. There must be faith. Yesterday, I was preaching to a group of Videshis from America. The conversation was very light in the beginning. How are you? How's the prasadam? They were eating in Govinda's. Oh, you're from California. How nice. This, that. We went on for a little while. Developed some relationship. Then he made a statement in passing that we're all God. That was it. I couldn't take that. That was the end of all the nice talk. I started to debate with him. But he had no standard. She said, yes, sadhana is for some people. But after 10 or 15 years of doing sadhana, I realized that there is no need for sadhana. And they quoted their guru, some follower of some Indian guru who has become their guru in America. And God is what you are, and you are what God is. You know, some bewildering statement. God is what you are, and you are what God is, and God just is. And you don't need to do any sadhana to realize it. You just have to meditate on yourself, because, anyway, it was all just Mayavadi mumbo jumbo, as they say in Africa. It was all just a jumble of words, all just a kitchery. No real foundation, no logical progression. They rejected the scriptures also. The scriptures weren't important, because after all, you're God. So in that condition, there's no question of satisfying Vishnu. There's no question of having a humble sense of rendering service, of performing austerity. So here, in the purport, Prabhupada, actually it's interesting, he brings up the Mayavadi conclusion that jatamat tataput. Any path that you follow, that's their idea. This is the common phrase. It doesn't matter, anything that you do, it all leads towards God anyway. That's what I said to them. There were two points that I thought were not my ideas, but insalable. Unassailable. In other words, undefeatable. One point is that if all paths lead to the same goal, then there's no need to do anything, because I can call anything my path. If I stand on my head, that's my path. If I just engage in going to brothels and drinking liquor, that's my path. All leads to the same goal. If I eat meat and kill people, that's my path. Killing yoga, drinking yoga, whatever. You can say anything. Of course, they didn't know how to deal with that, except for agree with it. Then the other point was made by Madhvacharya, that if I am you, if we're all God, my body's their conclusion is that I'm God, and you are God. You've just forgotten it. You just have to realize that you're God, and bingo, everything's okay. Madhvacharya says that if I am God, you are God, we are one, there's no difference, I am you, you are me. If that's the truth, then if you have realized that, I should have also realized it. If I'm God, if there's no difference and you have realized it, because I am you, I should have also realized it. It can't be that you've realized it, but I'm still in ignorance. Because I'm you, how can there be any difference? So, I kept pressing on that point. And they got very flustered. And ultimately, we had to end the conversation because they were customers at Govinda's. I didn't want to spoil the dinner completely. But a phone call came for me, so I rushed off. But dealing with people who have no fixed path and who are not following the injunction in Scripture, they'll never come to this conclusion that the purpose is to satisfy Krishna. They'll always be bereft. But a devotee, he should never think that just focusing on Krishna. Sometimes people criticize us that this is a very narrow goal. Why just Krishna? There are so many demigods, there are so many processes. Why are you just focusing on Krishna? You might be missing something. Oftentimes you see people, they'll have an altar in their home, and they've got Ganesh and Durga and Vishnu, Shiva, Jesus, Muhammad, this one, that one. They've got all the gods there because they don't want to miss anything. Maybe this one's right, and I better keep him there. Otherwise I'll offend him. I better get this one in too. It's like going into a supermarket. You know, like Foodland over there. They've got all the brands on the shelf, all the different brands, just in case somebody doesn't like Pepsi, he can buy Coca-Cola, or he doesn't like Coca-Cola, he can buy Thumbs Up, or, you know, if he doesn't like Kellogg's Corn Flakes, he can buy Quaker, you know. You got to keep everything stocked, just in case. So people worship God in that way, too. You know, all the demigods, you got it, just in case one of them's right. So when a devotee just focuses on Krishna, they think, well, you know, you better be careful. What if you're wrong? What if Shiva's God? Or what if Ganesh is? You miss out. But we have to have faith that just by chanting the Maha Mantra, no other mantras are necessary. Just by reading Prabhupada's books, no other literatures are necessary for spiritual success. Just by serving Prabhupada, just by serving Radharas Bihari, we will get all benefit, full, complete benefit. And that's also stated in the Shastra. There's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Vedeshu yagyeshu tapasu chaiva. That by engaging in yajna, or satisfying Vishnu, yajna by Vishnu, all your necessities will be taken care of. All the benefits of giving in charity, all the benefits of performing tapasya, all other benefits will be taken care of. You'll get everything just by this simple process of worshiping Lord Vishnu. That is our faith. In the beginning, in the middle, our faith grows stronger. In the end, our faith is firmly fixed, nishtha. And basically, we can see here, although this is another age, it's at the beginning of creation. It's in Sati Yuga. Still, Kasyapa Muni is giving Aditi a process which is exactly like devotional service. So it's confirmed again and again in the scriptures that devotional service is the only way, no other process, no other way. The essence is there in Satya, Treta, and Dwapar. It is fully described, fully prescribed for Kali Yuga. Although Kasyapa Muni himself was engaged in Ashtanga Yoga or meditation, but he gave this process of Payavrata, to his wife, and practically it's devotional service to Krishna directly. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Shamika Rishi.
The process is so clearly delineated. So why is this misunderstood?
Shamika says that the purport and even the verse itself are very clear. So why is there misunderstanding? Why do people not take up devotional service if it is so clear? Devotional service, the conclusion of Scripture, is very easy to understand for those who are not envious, for those who are simple in heart. But unfortunately, devotional service is taken up by a very small number of people. Paramonya matsaranam satam. Unfortunately, although we don't think of ourselves as parama nirmatsa, as the topmost transcendentalist, we don't think of ourselves that way. But it appears that there are very few who take up devotional service, and those who do are very exalted personalities. Very few people can surrender to Krishna, and therefore they invent their own ideas. You need to have something. Nobody wants to admit that he's living in a vacuum. Nobody wants to admit that he has nothing. So if he has nothing, he'll concoct something. If he can't surrender to Krishna, it's not difficult. But some people just cannot. They're afraid that they'll be bereft, actually. This verse is important, and there are other verses also, affirming or pacifying people. Don't worry. Masuchaha, don't worry. I will protect you, Krishna says. Krishna is yoga kshema. He'll protect you even materially. He keeps saying that, but people don't have faith. If I surrender to Krishna, then what will happen to me? Arjuna asked that question. What happens to someone who's not successful in devotional service? Does he not become just like a stray cloud in the sky? If you see a stray cloud in the sky, you know, very quickly it's just burned up by the sun. There's no position. It's in danger of evaporating. So isn't a person who doesn't succeed in bhakti, isn't he bereft of so many things? Krishna says, no, none at all. Declare it boldly. My devotee will never perish. People don't have that faith. Therefore, they concoct and invent anything that will allow them to maintain their so-called independence. What to do? We can only do our best to set a good example. Our most valuable contribution to society is living a Krishna conscious life so that people can see and associate and follow. It's an austerity to live in the city. We put ourselves in jeopardy because trying to follow our principles in the middle of a hedonistic society, we also have casualties. Our devotees get distracted. Their concentration becomes weakened. So it's an austerity, but we are blessed for that effort. We also are protected. If we just create an international society where God is in the center, and if we set a good example, then that in itself will be very powerful preaching. There are those who are good at prachar and those who are good at achar. But Srila Prabhupada wanted, it is necessary for the Krishna consciousness movement to expand, that there be those good at both achar and prachar, preaching and setting a good example. So if we do that, then people won't need to concoct other ideas. They'll be able to accept the scripture and the simple statements made. But because they're in darkness, because they're bewildered, because they're not free from envy and greed, it's difficult. It's not difficult, but they make it difficult. They complicate everything. Any other questions? Yes.
Those two undefeatable points that you were giving.
Yeah. You want to defeat them? Okay, go ahead.
If you are me and I'm you, then I am going to say that I can just keep you around for this and be around. If I am you and
yes.
me, then I have not realized.
Yes.
One, or maybe you are me, then I could take all your suggestions, you could not say anything.
Yes.
Because I am also you. First,
yes, yes. Shamika Rishi added another point which is very popular with devotees when speaking to Mayavadis, and that is that if I am you and you are me, then what is yours is mine. And you have a nice gold watch, so I think I'll just take it. Once a devotee did that here at Hare Krishna Land. His name was Sridhar Swami. Some life member, I took his watch and I wouldn't give him back to him. He agreed to give it. I convinced him that if I am you and you are me, if we're all God, then give me your watch. So he gave it, but then afterwards he wanted it back, but I wouldn't give it to him. And he got very upset. Finally I gave it back. But if people say that we are all one, it's just a hobby really. It has no practical value. We are all one, but we're different simultaneously. And if you emphasize the oneness, then you'll become a Mayavadi. So there's a balance. We are one with Krishna in quality, but not in quantity. We have to serve Him. We are God servants. We are not God master, we are God servant. And the other point? Oh, you wanted to add that. So, actually, Madhvacharya has written a book called Muktavali, or, no, I forget exactly the name of it. Sahasra. A thousand and one arguments against Mayavad philosophy. And this is the very first argument, that if I am you and you are me and you've realized that you're God, I should have also realized it. There can't be any separate consciousness. Yes, I told them that if there's no standard for realization, then Hitler can say that that's his path, or anybody can say anything, if all paths lead to the same goal, then we don't even need to do anything. And of course, they liked that idea. But then when I started saying, in that case, Hitler or Idi Amin or anybody, Mussolini or any of the tyrants, they were just following their path. They should also go back to Godhead. No need for ethics, no need for morality. Beg, borrow, or steal, do anything you like. Jatamatatapat. Yes. Well, his point is that if you say yoga kshema vamiham, then why are people will criticize you say that, but then why are you working? Why are you making life members? Why are you having bank accounts? Why are you doing so many things? Technically, we could practice a jagara vritti. The Goswamis in Vrindavan, they were so pure, they actually literally didn't do any work. They just did their bhajan. And big kings came to them begging for some mercy. So they said, okay, if you want to do something, build a temple over there. You know, and in that way, all the temples in Vrindavan were built by big merchants and kings and other people who wanted service. So that is probably the very best kind of profile that we could have. But another example, even before the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, was Tirumangai Alwar. Tirumangai Alwar was one of the Alwars, famous Alwars of South India, who were the predecessors of Ramanujacharya. So Tirumangai built Ranga Kshetra, Ranganath Temple in the south. And he was worshipping the deity of Ranganath, but there was no temple, and the people were miserly, and nobody was giving money. And he had four disciples, and they were very powerful disciples. Each one of them had mystic siddhi. One of them could read anyone's mind. He had perfect telepathic powers, and he could read anyone's mind. He knew what anyone was thinking. Another one could open any kind of safe, like our safe in Govinda's. We can't get it open. Now, if we just had that disciple of Tirumangai Alwar, he could easily just open it up. Either him or Charles Sobhraj, either one. But another disciple had a siddhi that he could step on someone's shadow, and that person couldn't move. And another of his disciples had a siddhi that he could walk on water. You thought that Jesus Christ only had that siddhi, but this disciple of Tirumangai also, he could walk on water. So they asked Tirumangai what to do, and Tirumangai said, well, we can be very nice and honest and this and that, but the deity is not being served. So what do you think? So they all agreed that they had to get money by hook or by crook, by any means. So they created a little mafia, and they hired some local gundas, and then they began to extort money from all the big businessmen and used it for building that beautiful temple. And then they even got rid of the gundas. That was also an interesting story. The gundas, they learned when the temple was getting close to completion, they realized that they were not going to get paid. So they made a plot to kill Tirumangai. So he understood that and he told his disciples. So they told the Gundas, don't worry, we're going to pay you. We've kept everything on an island in the middle of a lake. So then one night, very late, 12 o'clock, one of the disciples got in a boat and took all of the Gundas to the island to give them their share of what had been...